It is time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you the latest JMRA Podcast here as we check in with you early, early Wednesday morning. As I'm doing this, there is an NBA playoff game going on right now. The Trailblazers and Warriors in the background as they hold off the inevitable, which will be some sort of Warriors 4-5 game victory over the Trailblazers. But nonetheless, we are here to bring you the latest in the world of, in the immortal words of Sid Vicious, whatever we damn well please. Well, that's a paraphrase anyways. We're going to get to a lot in relationship to the NFL draft, and also we're going to talk a little WWE, actually a lot of the WWE, because we're going to talk about why Sam Bradford and Ryback might be the same guy. More on that in a second. Anyhow, let's go through the usual social media rundown. You can check us out on Twitter at JoeM's Right Arm. Also on the blog at JoeMontanasRightArm.com. We're on Facebook and also on Vine, all kinds of good stuff. Instagram as well. Just search Joe Montana's Right Arm and you will be able to find us doing what it is we do on the social media highways and byways. All right, I was going to start the show actually by talking about WWE Payback, the event that took place on Sunday night in Chicago. Fun time, fun card. But some news broke earlier on Tuesday that I wanted to talk about, and it kind of ties into the NFL stuff too in a weird way. So, Ryback. So, for those of you who are listening who are like, who in the Sam Hill is Ryback? So, Ryback is this guy that the WWE brought in. I guess now we're going back to 5-6 years ago as this dude named Skip Sheffield, okay? So he was a part of Nexus, and Nexus was supposed to be this super group that terrorized the WWE. They're going to ruin the company, whatever, whatever. And eventually it dissolved and faded away. They brought back said Skip Sheffield as Ryback a couple of years later. So Ryback, of course, had the, I don't want to say it was famous, but somewhat controversial feud with CM Punk, where Punk has since alleged that a part of his medical issues, in fact, stem from his feud with Ryback and Ryback's inability to take care of him. In other words, put him in proper holds and drop him the right way, etc., etc. So Ryback is in a contract dispute with the WWE at the moment. He has never won the world title. He's been in main events. He's wrestled for the title. He's held the Intercontinental title. He's been in a lot of title programs, so on and so forth. Last night, well, I should say Monday night, he was sent home. He was taken off of television indefinitely. And it is perceived to be over a contract issue. And his contract, which is up in the summer, there's an issue about whether or not he's going to get a pay increase. And the word on the street is they decided to sit him down until they had a yes or no. Obviously, if they have a no, you'll never see him again on WWE television. If it's a yes, then you'll see him at some point. Now, here's where things get weird. So, this story comes out Monday night. Ryback takes to all things Tumblr. Now, I have a personal Tumblr account. There's the there's actually a offspring Tumblr account for Joe Montana's right arm. It's called I Like Football and Stuff .tumblr.com. Anyways, not important right now. I have my own personal Tumblr account for who I really am, which is neither here nor there at this moment in time. But it's not, I say that to say this, it's not really a place where you're going to make significant proclamations if you're over the age of, like, I don't know, 21. Like, you can use it as a personal blog or whatever, but, I mean, you, I don't know if that's the place you should be using it as a platform to make, you know, these wide-sweeping personal announcements. But that's exactly what Ryback did. So I want to read you some of this and we're going to jump into what is, to me, one of the most ridiculous ideas and concepts I've ever heard of in my life from anybody in any field, especially professional wrestling. Okay, here it is. Quote, "It blows my mind how in a sport which is predetermined from a company standpoint, winners are paid so much more than losers." I'm going to butt in here for a second. What Ryback is referring to is that there is a pay scale inequality, if you will, between the guys who are at the top of the card, the main eventers, and the guys who are the mid-carders or lower than the mid-card. And in fact, the guys who ultimately are used as stepping stones for the main eventers to do other big things. Okay, back in. "Every single person who works for WWE from top to bottom is absolutely just as valuable as the next." Okay, that's a fair point. "The winners cannot win unless the losers go out there and agree to lose to them." Again, a somewhat fair point. "It blows my mind that in this day and age, though we still adhere to this formula, why is it a guy who is told he is going out and lose and does everything he is told be paid not only less, but much less than said winner over a period of time?" Hey, Ryback, okay? Like, you're not, you know, John Cena, I believe, is making a few million dollars a year. So that's obviously out of the question. I don't think Ryback, and this is going to sound like me being a clown because I'm not a professional wrestler, and how would you know what it's like to be in the ring? I don't. But I can tell you from watching, you know, and understanding the business, in my view, the way that I do, I don't think Ryback needs a pay increase to be paid near the level of top guys. For what? For what? He's not good on the microphone, okay? He's not that great in the ring. So what am I paying you for, all right? Am I paying you for the Feed Me More chant? Am I paying you to make a weight belt that says pre-show stealer or whatever that was, pre-show stopper, whatever that silly thing he did on Sunday night was? Why am I paying? That's the thing. Like, obviously, Vince McMahon knows a hell of a lot better than I do. What are we talking about here? This guy, or to be paid money comparable to a main eventer or someone higher up on the card? Get out. Get out. Okay, let's get back to it for a second. "Most guys take great satisfaction in helping making other talent. The blank and the moaning we always hear about stems from the fact they know they are ultimately, over time, going to make less and live in fear of being released." Okay, again, somewhat of a fair point, because right now, the WWE is really the only significant show in town where you're going to get significant, crazy exposure. TNA is, I mean, they're not even the number two company in the world anymore. Probably two and three, to be honest with you, are NXT and Ring of Honor. And somewhere after that is TNA, depending on, they're probably after New Japan. New Japan's probably higher up than that. But that is not the place to be if you're a wrestler right now, TNA. It's just not. I mean, it's a company that's crumbling. Why would you want to be there? So he makes a fair point. Here's where we have a problem, which I'm going to get to in a second. Quote, "Hell, look at my pay-per-view record of 12-26, and you will see that has been the pattern of my career. I've always been confident in my ability and work ethic to being my best every day, and ultimately always felt that by doing good, it was the right thing to do. Personally, seeing my money go down over the years, even though I was working as much as ever and being denied magazine covers and other projects, as well as watching my role diminish, no matter what I did or how hard I tried, takes its toll on a human. Being told no matter how hard I work or how good I get doesn't always pay off as something I, expletive, refuse to ever believe in my life." Dude, okay, there's one show in town. Everybody can't be a cowboy, okay? Everybody can't be the number one gun. You ever heard that phrase, we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians? That's more or less the issue with the WWE right now. Like, you need a lot of Indians to prop up the Chiefs. And his idea that the Indians need to be paid similarly to the Chiefs, I don't agree with that. Like, I'll give you an example. Ric Flair. Ric Flair from like 1995, okay, up until he retired. I would say, conservatively speaking, he lost like 90% of his matches. 90%. He did that to help elevate guys. I mean, he's lost to some straight up jabronis, okay? But that was done to prop up people. Ric Flair never asked for his money back. Ric Flair didn't ask for his money back, nor should you. And if the WWE somehow does a 180 on this and says, okay, Ryback, you're right. It's time to pay you close to what the main event guys are making. And I don't know who he's talking about. He ain't on par with any of those cats. He's not. And this, you know, being denied magazine covers. Dude, you're not a superstar. You're not. You've been in the business for 6 years. I mean, you've been in the major spotlight for 6 years. Like, that's not a long time, man. Like, it just, it, this is just annoying, okay? Who in professional wrestling, think about this for a second. This guy's counting his wins and losses, 12 and 26. Get the hell out of here with that. Who in the, I said this about Sam Bradford, and I'll say this about Ryback. Who in the hell is Ryback to count his wins and losses? Are you serious? 12 and 26. I don't care that you're 12 and 26, sir. That's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Okay? You're not over with the fans. That's it. That's it. If you were significantly over with the fans for an extended period of time, you wouldn't be writing a post on Tumblr. That's it. That's it. No. You shouldn't be making money near the level of John Cena. No, you should not be making the money anywhere near Roman Reigns. I'm sorry, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. You had your window of opportunity. It's closed. There's too many guys coming up now. When the injured guys come back, you're going to have an even worse problem. So you know what? Good for you for staying home, because that's where you should be. You should be at home right now. You should be at home just like Sam Bradford should be home. I don't want Sam Bradford to take us, I know we're going totally all over the place here. I don't want Sam Bradford to take a single snap for the Philadelphia Eagles this season, because his mentality is just like Ryback. I don't want any part of it. You want to sit here and complain about how people owe you this, people owe you that? You are blessed with having a job that so few people on this planet have. Enjoy it. Take advantage of it. But no, you're whining. You're whining. People want to take my job. Guess what? That's life. Anytime you want something in life, somebody else probably wants it too. Cars, women, jobs, houses, food. Everybody wants the same stuff. Okay? Anything that's valuable to person A is going to be valuable to somebody else. This is just stupid to me. Why do guys like this not understand the system? They don't understand it. Ryback, you're lucky to have a job. You're lucky to have a job. And now, he went on later to say, by the way, to get back to that, to finish that up real quick, Ryback went on to basically say that he's, you know, he might do something else with his life if he does not come to an agreement with WWE. If he does, Godspeed. See you later. Thanks for playing. Thanks for the memories. You're immortalized on the WWE Network. Later days. I mean, that's the long and short of it. As for Sam Bradford, same thing. Retire. Just get out. I don't think Sam Bradford actually likes football. I think Sam Bradford likes money. And I think Sam Bradford, he is okay with football, but he doesn't embrace it. He doesn't love it. You know, he doesn't Tom Brady love it. He doesn't Peyton Manning love it. Not like Aaron Rodgers. Not like these guys. And I'm not even talking about the talent. It just seems like this guy is just not as into it as the others. Just not as into it. That's it. Okay, time to move on here on the JMRA podcast as we transition quickly into WWE Payback, which took place on Sunday night. Just going to go over a couple of quick things here. I thought this was actually a better wrestling show than WrestleMania, which is crazy to me. That a show in Chicago in a small arena is wrestling quality-wise better than a show in front of 101,000 people. That's crazy, but that's what happened. Kalisto beat the aforementioned Ryback in a pre-payback match on the WWE Network. And, of course, as we know, Ryback took his ball and went home with a little push and assistance from Vince and friends. Unfortunately, one of the major storylines out of Payback was the fact that in the number one contenders match for the WWE tag team titles, Enzo Amore and Big Cass versus the Vaudevillains. The Vaudevillains are going to wrestle now for the tag titles against the New Day, but unfortunately, Enzo Amore suffering a severe concussion. That was a legit moment. That wasn't, you know, work. That was legit. Amore went into the ropes, got caught on one of the ropes, and then eventually as he came down, slammed his head on the mat, and he was out cold. Had a chance to listen to the Steve Austin podcast a little bit on this, and his theory was, and it looks to be pretty true, that Amore was just whipped too hard into the ropes. And at that close range, when you're whipped that hard into the ropes, some bad stuff can happen. And that's exactly, people forget, like, the ring ropes, they don't look like they're hard. But if you ask a lot of wrestlers, they sure are, especially the WWE ring ropes. So that injury, they stopped the match effectively as it turned out. And there was no finish. They couldn't finish the match. Other keynotes here. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, great match, enjoyed it a lot. I hope those guys continue that rivalry for a long time. And by long time, I don't mean like 3 months. I mean like I hope this goes on for the next couple of years. I don't think you have to have them wrestle every major show, obviously. But if they can keep this going, the feud kind of lingering in the background over time, I think that would be fantastic. Intercontinental Champion The Miz beat Cesaro with a handful of trunks setting up what appears to be a four-way match between The Miz, Cesaro, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens on commentary. Dope. Including that cowboy hat. That was pretty funny. Dean Ambrose defeats Chris Jericho. You can see everyone's still pissing and moaning about AJ Styles losing at WrestleMania to Jericho. I think this is what they had in mind. They knew that they had to prop up Dean Ambrose. I think that's the whole thing. I think they have to prop up Dean Ambrose. So, you know, this guy can't keep losing these big matches on shows. He's got to win something. So they have Jericho beat AJ Styles to elevate him, and then boom. Ambrose defeats Jericho, and they're going to have a rematch at Extreme Rules in a few weeks, which I'm going to, by the way. Very excited. Should be a great time in Newark, New Jersey. Elsewhere, I am looking, as I am doing this podcast, at a picture of this young woman, the fantastic, the wonderful WWE Women's World Champion Charlotte, defeating Natalya with a screwjob finish. I love the Montreal screwjob. I think that's compelling theater in anything. I'll put that up against any the Wrestling with Shadows. I'll put that documentary up against 90% of the television documentaries I've ever seen. It was a crazy finish. It's a crazy moment in wrestling history. Having said all that, can you do something else besides that for the finish of the match, please? We've seen that finish, I feel like, 8 billion times since 1997. I mean, we literally saw it months later with Steve Austin. Like, you just can't keep throwing that stuff out there. But it does eventually lead to something, which the next night they set up the submissions match between Natty and Charlotte coming up at Extreme Rules. So that should be a fantastic match and a battle of the sharpshooter versus the figure eight leg lock. Should be a fun time. Always great to see Charlotte improving every time. Everybody goes out there and shouts for Sasha Banks, shouts for Bayley. Charlotte's good, folks. Deal with it. Although, I do want to see Bayley and Sasha Banks in a women's world title program on the main roster. That's got to happen at some point. I think it will. It's going to be a while before I think we see Ms. Hugs come on up in the main roster, Bayley. I think that's going to be a minute, but hopefully she does sooner rather than much, much, much later. Elsewhere on the show, the Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, Vince McMahon segment, oh my God, way too long with very little resolution other than those two will be running Raw now. I don't know, man. I mean, there's got to be another way to put this show together. There just has to be. The ratings are falling. Like, you can't keep going back to the well over and over again with the same stuff. Somebody wrote this the other day. We've seen the McMahons feuding on television since 1999. Think about that for a second. Not counting the Austin feud. But they've been feuding on screen basically since 1999. That is crazy. Now, it hasn't been continuous, but it has more or less been, on average, happening more often than not. Since 1999. Man, you're going to run you're going to run that angle out there? That, I mean, it's just, we've seen it. We've seen the family dysfunction. It was a main event at WrestleMania one year. Okay, when we had the four-way match with a McMahon in every corner, I mean, geez, come on, enough, come up with something. I love Stephanie, too, she's great, but, oh my God, come on, it's too much, And then in the main event, Roman Reigns defeats AJ Styles. I've been talking to a couple of my friends about this. I'm on the Roman Reigns bandwagon. I don't care about these internet smart marks that hate Roman Reigns because, quote, he can't wrestle. The guy's promo's a little raw. I'll give you that. That's fair. But don't give me, I can't work. How many bad Roman Reigns matches have you seen? Think about it. Of the big show Roman Reigns matches, how many of them have been bad? Even the WrestleMania one against Triple H wasn't a bad match. It was boring as hell. But it was not a bad match. All right? He doesn't wrestle bad matches against high-profile guys. This reminds me a little bit of early-ish Cena as champion. You know, not super, super technical, not super skilled, but his matches were fun and entertaining, especially as he got more reps, and that's what's going to happen with Roman Reigns. I don't mind it. Spear away, sir. Spear the company for all I care. I mean, geez. You gotta have a big baby face champion. Who do you guys want as champion? AJ Styles? That'll go nowhere. You're not gonna see it. The pandering to the indie folks. Just like, guys, I trust Vince McMahon more so than I trust fill in the blank indie darling. That's just how it is. Vince ultimately will make the right decision and what's best for business. He may get it wrong a few times along the way, but more often than not, the man is going to be right. The Bullet Club interfered in the match. They came in at the end. Along you had the schmoz with the Usos. I'm not into the Bullet Club. I'll be honest with you, I'm not. I just don't. So these guys came in. What do you want to do? We're here to make an impact. Everybody else is on the roster is here to make an impact. What act in the last, I don't know, 50 years of wrestling has come in and said, I don't want to make an impact. I'm just here. Like, that's a cop-out line. Why are you here, okay? What is the reason why you're here? Let's get to that. I'd like to know that because that'd make me maybe be a little bit more interested in these guys. And I'm going to say something else, too, that you internet smart marks don't want to hear. I don't think they're over with the fans. How you like them apples? The Bullet Club. Give me a break. It's Scott Hall and Kevin Nash Jr. That's who they are. Go back and watch, okay, The Outsiders. Go back and watch that. Tell me, this is not almost the same thing, okay? It's Luke Gallows is Kevin Nash, and Carl Anderson is little Scott Hall. That's what this is. And you've had fans eating it up. Oh, Bullet Club, let's make shirts. Let's fantasy book it. Great. It's not over at all. As for Raw, not much doing in terms of major happenings. Charlotte and Charles Robinson kind of did the thing, as Charles Robinson came out and said, you know, he didn't mean to screw the hearts out of the women's title. Obviously, he did, as a strict, loyal supporter of the Flair family over the years. Roman Reigns wins again. What else is new? Spear, Superman punch, rinse, repeat. I dig it. Chris Jericho attacked Dean Ambrose with a plant. One other side note. Let me get to Dean Ambrose for a second. I like Dean Ambrose, but his mess is starting to get too silly. Like, he got fired from Ambrose Asylum by Stephanie McMahon, and he wants to keep his plant. Let me just keep the plant. Like, I get the guy's crazy, like, that's his character, but, I mean, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's just not funny. Ugh. Okay, quick breather. When we come back, it's time to shift gears and talk NFL Draft.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California. With the second pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Carson Wentz, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Back here on the JMRA podcast, I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we cover the latest happenings in the world of the WWE and, of course, the NFL. Again, as we get closer towards the NFL season, we'll kind of tilt it back over on the side of the NFL. But for now, again, it is what it is. Speaking of the NFL, though, I want to do a couple of quick things on the NFL draft that took place last weekend. I just want to say, first off, draft grades are stupid. They're stupid. I hate draft grades. That's why I don't do them. I think draft grades, everybody wants to do draft grades, but, and they do. You see CBS Sports, Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB, that website. All these sites who are giving you draft grades, okay, for this team who got eight guys. This team got three, so they suck. It's crazy. I'll give an example of why draft grades are really stupid. So, the Seattle Seahawks in 2012 selected Bobby Wagner and also Russell Wilson. Okay, Bobby Wagner is an all-pro linebacker, and Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl and is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. That draft got, in many circles, a C at best. That's not a C draft, okay? In the same year, the Patriots took Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones, both in the first round. And people, depending on who you read, they were kind of confused. They're like, I'm not really sure this was a good draft for the Patriots because, you know, they took those two guys in the first round. Then what else did they really do? You know what? I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Would you rather have the Patriots receive an A for the 2012 draft or the Super Bowl ring that they won at the end of the 2014 season with Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones in a starting lineup for a Super Bowl winning defense? You think Bill Belichick gives two squats about an A for a draft grade? No. I mean, it's just totally dumb to grade drafts before these guys actually play in the NFL. It's crazy that people do this for a living. I'm going to give the Chicago Bears an A-. What the hell does that mean? Like, you like who they picked based off of their personnel without having seen these guys play. And many of the guys who these folks are talking about, I'm going to bet you they haven't seen all of them play. So don't tell me that these teams, the Eagles, they get a D. But why? I mean, just can we wait until 2006? There should be a two-year minimum on grading drafts, okay? The grades, it's like the census. Like, the census, when you find out information, it's from months ago, okay? It's not from, like, what happened 5 minutes ago. That's the way NFL draft grades should be handled. If you want to do NFL draft grades, release them. You magazines out there, you websites, you want to release them. Release them like 2 or 3 years after the fact, when we actually know for sure what happens with these guys. It's just, it's crazy that this happens. Now, this year, allegedly, the Jacksonville Jaguars had the best draft. Again, I don't know. I mean, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. We'll have to see. I'd like to see this played out on the field rather than writing about it for 6 months before the season actually starts. Or more like, excuse me, more like four. I used to be really good at math, not so much anymore. But anyhow, it's mind-numbing that these draft grades, people swear by this stuff, and it's just dumb to read. Speaking of crazy things in the draft, I want to spend a second here on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who used a second-round pick on Roberto Aguayo, actually traded up, I believe, to the 59th pick in the draft to select a kicker in the second round. This is maybe one of the dumbest picks in NFL history. I'm going to tell you why, okay? If you're taking a kicker, think about this for a second, all right? If you see your kicker on the field a lot kicking field goals because your offense can't punch the ball into the end zone, that's a little troubling, okay? If you see your kicker kicking four or five or six field goals a game on a semi-regular basis, that's kind of concerning, okay? But if your team's scoring touchdowns and they're doing this and doing that, and your kicker's not out there on the field, that's good. That's a good thing. I don't want my kicker participating all the time in the game because I want to make sure I'm scoring freaking touchdowns. I have a couple thoughts about this. Number one, I think this is going back to that extra point rule. I think people are really spooked about the extra point rule and thinking that it's going to cost them games. And look, Tampa got bit by kickers, by Connor Barth last year on a couple of occasions. But, I mean, you got to be kidding me with this stuff, man. A second-round pick? Like, what? Why? Why would you do that? There's so many other needs that teams have other than drafting a kicker. Like, even if you don't take this guy in the second round, and let's say somebody jumps the gun and takes him in the third, like, you can't get somebody else to do this job that's somewhat competent? I mean, that's crazy. You're going to waste a second-round pick on a kicker. Oh, my God. I mean, I could not believe Tampa did that. That was stunning. A kicker in the second round. I mean, A, go find a kickoff guy, and B, find somebody who can kick field goals. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy that they're doing this. My God, I don't know. These NFL GMs, I think these guys spend too much time studying this stuff. Like, you know, if you're studying for the SATs or something, how many hours in a row can you look at a book? How many hours in a row can you look at the computer? Just get up, walk away, and grab some water or something, and just let your mind breathe for a second. I mean, you're trading up to take a kicker in the second round? Are you mental? Come on. Oh, my goodness. All right, one last thing before we get out of here, and that's this Laremy Tunsil situation. He was suspected to be one of the perhaps top picks in the draft. He ended up dropping out of the top 10, ended up with Miami because of the video that surfaced on social media of him wearing a gas mask and taking a hit from a bong. And there's some alleged theories that his stepfather has something to do with it. I mean, this is a tough situation because it's dealing with a step-parent. Like, you want to see a bad movie, go watch The Stepfather, okay? It's out there. It was made in the 80s, and it was remade, I think, with the guy from Nip Tuck, Dylan Walsh, I think his name is. Go watch that movie. That's what type of nonsense this sounds like. Having said that, like, dude, the second you know that you have even a remote chance of being selected in the NFL draft, I would call anybody who had any incriminating videos of me, any pictures, and get them erased. I mean, this is the fact that there's a video of you smoking whatever, using a gas mask. Why does that exist? Why does that exist? Like, that was the most mind-blowing thing of this for me. I mean, I wasn't shocked that it sounds like he got set up by somebody and they kind of put the screws to him. That happens. It does. It's unfortunate, but that happens when you get agents involved and stuff, and this guy wants you to be represented by that guy, and this guy wants you to be represented by that guy. All of these things can really encompass together and make for really some negative situations, and that's what took place here. But why are you doing that? Why is it? Guys, tell some of your friends, okay? If you're an NFL player, tell your friends everything doesn't need to be recorded on video. Now, granted, you can't be wearing a gas mask and smoking a bong. Like, that's just moronic on so many levels. And there's a Confederate flag in the background. Like, it's just stupid. The whole thing's just stupid. And he's, you know, look, he didn't put that video out there. He was, quote, hacked. But he put the smoking gun in somebody's hand. He did. So I'm not saying he deserved that. Nobody deserves to be embarrassed on draft day to that degree. But Jesus, you can't put yourself in that position. You can't do it. It gives somebody the opportunity to make you look not just bad, but look like a complete idiot. I mean, that's what happened there. So Laremy Tunsil in Miami. Also, quickly, the Eagles go with Carson Wentz at number two. I mean, let's give the guy a shot and see what happens. It is what it is. You got it. They traded the two. You have to get a quarterback, and the Eagles got one. So we'll see if Wentz is any good. That remains to be seen if the competition can, the lack thereof, can translate and possibly become a negative for Carson Wentz in the NFL because maybe he's not used to seeing guys from Alabama or Ohio State, like these elite college football programs where things in the NFL go up even tenfold from there. So some interesting challenges moving forward. So the NFL draft in the books, and now we turn our attention here, coming up to mini camp in a little over a month or so, and then eventually into training camp in late July and into August. And before you know it, the NFL season will be here, thankfully. So a lot of great stuff to talk about as we go along throughout the summer. You can check us out on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com, on social media, Twitter, Joe Montana's Right Arm, by simply searching Joe M's Right Arm. Then on Instagram and Vine as well. Facebook too. So we're out there on the social media front, and you can get your latest news and information whenever we do the podcast right here on the JMRA podcast. That will do it for the show this evening / morning, whatever. Whenever you're listening to this, have a great day. And until next time, happy football, everybody.